Our God and Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for the great work of salvation which Thou hast done in and through the Lord Jesus Christ, which has brought deliverance to us. That it has been in Thy will to arrange for the salvation of all who would put their trust in Thee. And our Father, we thank Thee. We pray that as we study, that we may understand these things better and grow in these things. For Thy name's sake we ask it. Amen. We are reading just now and studying just now in the book of Matthew in the 16th chapter. And we have just looked at the great confession of Peter. When, in answer to the Lord Jesus' question, "Whom do you say that I am?" Peter told him, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Now there follows in a few verses, just in four verses after that, a most remarkable statement about what the Lord Jesus Christ will do in setting up His church here upon earth. In the 17th verse, following Peter's confession, the Lord Jesus says, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven." One looks at that for a moment. Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona. Whenever you see the word blessed, you can say to yourself, fortunate, very fortunate, favored person. You certainly are well off. You've been made rich, that kind of thing. You are favored person, Simon Barjona means the son of Jonah. Flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. This brings to our minds a very important truth. Flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee. Human thinking, human reasoning, human argument can never bring to the heart of man a conviction that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Let me say that again. There's no way by human argument, by human philosophy, by human logic, by human talk, that you will ever be able to reveal to another person the truth that Jesus of Nazareth is the Christ, the Son of the living God. You can say it. You can say it over and over again, but you can't really believe it until God Himself gives you the grace to do it. And we can praise His holy name. He's ready to do that. The Lord Jesus said, "Flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven." The living God prepared to give to the willing soul faith to believe. Just exactly the same way as when you were born. When you were born, your body suddenly had life. It suddenly had the power to live. Where'd that come from? Where did this power to live come from, and where does the power to live right now come from that you and I exercise and which will be gone when we die? From God. Then God, a man's life is in God's hands. And God gives life to the human body? Yes. Well, God gives life to the human soul. And God gives life to the human spirit. In other words, if you and I, as we read the Scriptures, want to come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, if we have in mind that we would like to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, if any man wills to do His will, he shall know of the doctrine. But it's God that does it. Some years ago, many years ago as a matter of fact, when I was just a young man, I was a student. And I remember being taken up to Chicago, Illinois, to a student convention. We had some speakers that I expect were good men. And I think in their day and time they were considered famous men and good speakers. But I can recall so well one of these men who stood up to give us his reasons for believing in Jesus Christ. His reasons for believing that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. As I look back on it now, I don't remember whether he had 12 or 16 reasons. But he gave, we'll say 12 different reasons that he had specified in his address, which caused him to believe that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. You know, while I was sitting there listening to him, I thought to myself, there's something wrong here. That's absolutely is not the way it would be. If he really believes that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, it's not because of that. How'd I know? Because Peter didn't come to it from flesh and blood. because all the 12 or 16 reasons he gave us were all flesh and blood reasons. They were observations of history. They were investigations of literature. They were impressions gained from studying the original languages. They were further corroboration secured by the study of archaeology. He went from point to point to point in various things, all of which could be corroborative, I know. But I listened to what Peter, the Lord, said to Peter, "Flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven." I know that God will use human agencies, and don't misunderstand me. I think he could, and he probably would, but the actual matter of coming to faith is something that God gives to the human heart and to the human soul. And now we go on in the 18th verse. The Lord Jesus said to, going on speaking about Peter, "And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Those of you who are acquainted with the name of Simon Peter will know that originally his name was Simon, and his name was changed to Peter. They tell me that the word Simon comes from an old word in that language which means sand, and we know that Peter is very closely associated with the word Petra, which means rock. And so we are saying, in effect, that the sand of the old Peter becomes the rock of the new Peter by the blessing of God. You notice that that's the reverse of the natural process. You know the natural process, we have the rock first and it grinds down, we get our sand. But this takes sand, as it were, and by a means that only God knows, by his regenerating power, he can turn out a rock. Now he goes on to say, "Thou art Peter, and upon this rock," I think that's just a play of words that's being used there, "I will build my church." When you use that expression, "upon this rock I will build my church," I know that there are those people in the world claim that that means Peter, and that they put it in that fashion. Well, no, we don't believe that. And if we don't believe that, what do we believe? Let's not leave this verse just lying around loose. Let's pick it up and look at it. If this does not mean the person of Peter, if this isn't Simon Peter upon whom the church is built, then what does it mean? "Upon this rock I will build my church." Well, I'll remind you that way back in the Sermon on the Mount, the word rock was used as a foundation. You remember the man that built his house on a sand and it collapsed? The man who built his house upon a rock and it stood? Well, now this, upon this rock, upon this foundation. "Upon this foundation I will build my church." What foundation? What fundament? The heartfelt conviction that Jesus is the Christ. And that's the ground on which the church is built. The heartfelt conviction that Jesus is the Christ is the very basis, it's the very root of all the spiritual experience that any of us will ever have. And so he goes on to say, "And upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." The gates of hell shall not prevail against it is a military term. The gates of any city were the signs of its military strength, its power, shall not prevail against it, against the church. And there are two different ways in which this can be interpreted, and I think both of them are true. In the first place, you could say that souls will not be kept under the power of Satan. The gates of hell could be considered like the gates of a prison, holding in the souls that have been committed to evil and are under the power of Satan because of evil. But the power of the gospel will be such that such souls can be delivered. He will open the prison gates and set the prisoner free. And this can be implied here. And then again, the church goes out to seek to win people, as it is even now all over the world, in the foreign field, in the homeland. The church is conducting a program, a campaign, an evangelistic campaign, calling men to come to God. And the powers of the darkness, the gates of hell, the powers of evil, shall not prevail against this evangelistic surge and work of the church. You can take it either way, but the promise is the same all the way through, and that is that the Lord Jesus Christ will, by his own power, deliver anybody who has this rock foundation, a heartfelt conviction that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Now in verse 19, "I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven." What are keys for? Keys are for opening doors. And so there will be given to the church the key of the kingdom of heaven. In other words, the church will open the door for people to come in. And this is what is then said: whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. I'm not going to go into that in very great detail, except to emphasize this, that the work, the ministry of the church will be significant. I will give unto you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. You can open the kingdom of heaven to your hearers. And you go out into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, making disciples of all nations, those people who turn, who will listen to the things that you teach. When you teach all things whatsoever I have commanded you, those people who will turn and come will be received, and they'll be received on earth and received in heaven. So our missionaries go to Africa, and they teach the gospel to the African natives. And in their teaching and preaching of the gospel, some native believes. When this native believes, he is forgiven. He's regenerated. And he counts himself as belonging to God. That happened here on earth. It'll be true in heaven. Then again, the gospel is being preached and warns people that if they don't turn to God, they'll be lost. That if they stay in their sins, they'll be lost. That message is preached right here in the city that you're living in. And the message is being given out that if you do not turn to God, that God will destroy you and that you will be lost. And that message is being preached and being felt and being heard. It's here on earth. It'll be true in heaven. What we do here on earth will count in heaven. The souls we win will be won. The souls we don't win won't be won. Work done here is for eternity. When he had said this, the Lord Jesus then told them, then he charged his disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ. And I think he did that because his hour was not yet come. There would be a day when he would admit openly he was, but on that day they would kill him. In the meantime, he wanted to keep it quiet. Our God and Heavenly Father, add thy blessing to our hearts, and grant that each one of us may receive from thee the inward grace to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. For thy name's sake we ask it. Amen.